You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another UFC Buzz Podcast for William Hill. I'm Gareth A. Davis. It's UFC 217 this weekend, Madison Square Garden, New York. The returning George St. Pierre, lots of hype around this. 4 years away, meeting Michael Bisping for the UFC middleweight crown. People just don't know what GSP is going to have left. Michael Bisping, of course, has clambered into the title picture, held on to the title. People think he's being favoured a little by the UFC at the moment. There's a kind of murderer's row, if you like, so to speak, of guys lining up to fight him, but GSP gets the call up. I'm here with Matt Erickson, senior writer and assistant editor at MMA Junkie. We're going to talk through the three title fights on the card this weekend at Madison Square Garden. Second time UFC returning there, of course. The first time was the night that Stephen Thompson and Tyron Woodley fought for the welterweight crown, and Joanna Jędrzejczyk fought there and defended her title. And of course, Conor McGregor was pulling his strings and beating up Eddie Alvarez in an extraordinary fight. They're back to Madison Square Garden. Matt, the return to Madison Square Garden, always exciting. It's a great venue. It's historic. And they were bound to go back there, weren't they?
Of course. I mean, it seems a little unfair for this card, doesn't it? It seems like there's less buzz about this one than there was about the first time around. And I think that had to do with that being the first time they were in Madison Square Garden, the first time they were in New York City. And Conor, of course. There's no Conor this time around. You would think that GSP would bring a little bit of that back to the table, that buzz. I don't feel it this time around, and I think it's really unfair because three title fights that are incredible title fights on the show.
Definitely, but I think there's an idea around this fight that it's a slight novelty match in a way, because we really don't know what GSP's got left. He never fought at middleweight in the UFC. Of course, he was a very dominant welterweight champion, one of the greats. I mean, he's close to being on the Mount Rushmore of great MMA fighters, certainly in the modern era, with, you know, Anderson Silva, John Jones, these guys. And I think, I just think people are waiting to see what he's got left. I mean, you know, it certainly is, on paper, probably the best card of the year for the UFC, for me.
I think so too. Maybe it'll get challenged in early December by UFC 218 in Detroit. That looks like a very good show as well. But so far, this is the best one. And you're right. We don't know what GSP's got after 4 years off. 4 years is a long time. If you're talking about who to pick in fights, my kind of golden rule is if a guy's been off for a year, I automatically start out picking against him, and then he's got to sort of earn my trust and earn his way back into me picking him if he's been out for more than a year. When we're talking 2 years, forget it. When we're talking four, holy cow. But you know what? GSP is a special athlete. We always said that about him. 4 years, though, I mean, I find it hard to pick him against a much bigger guy in Michael Bisping.
So the noise you can hear is not kind of the boos from the police. It's building work going on behind us. Obviously, big fights all over the place this weekend. I take your point. I think it's very, very valid. Let's talk, first of all, about the defence of the UFC bantamweight title, Cody Garbrandt, who really has sprung on the scene. I think he's a terrific fighter. He's got lots of vim and vigour, real character. I love his tattoos. He's a real, you know, alpha male product, isn't he? He's the new generation. And of course, in TJ Dillashaw, he's kind of, I don't know, like a Mark One. He's like the first prodigy that they created, and he's moved away. You know, he's moved away, and there's that animosity about, you know, did he let the team down? Did he take Dwayne Ludwig away with him? Did he desert the team? You know, it's a terrific fight, this. I mean, Garbrandt looked brilliant against Dominic Cruz, but it's a Dominic Cruz who's ravaged for me through injuries, through all those surgeries. His knees have literally been reconstructed and deconstructed, you know, rather like, Steve Austin, the $6 billion man or whatever he was. You know, it really was taken to pieces and put back together again. I thought he got through the Dillashaw fight. I think the style got Dominic through the Dillashaw fight. The style, and of course we know styles make fights in fight sports. And For me, Dillashaw, that fight was much closer than the judges gave it credit for as well, in my view. You could have given the fight to Dillashaw. But Garbrandt went in there. He literally ripped the belt from Dominic. He didn't show any respect for the style or history or what Dominic had done. He said, you can run around, but as soon as you come anywhere near, I'm going to bash you. And that's what he did. He took the mickey out of him in the octagon, and he fought a great fight. Obviously, we've seen these two guys together. There's a lot of animosity between them. How do you think the animosity between them plays out in this? Will it affect the way these two men fight?
I think it may. and I think if it does, I think that probably favors Dillashaw, if we're just being honest. He's the more veteran of the two guys. He's been around a little bit longer. And he seems to kind of have a way of just letting it roll off his shoulders. He had a lot of this early on when Connor was ribbing him about being the snake in the grass and all that kind of stuff. He dealt with it pretty well then, and then we saw him move away. But I think he's got something to prove in this fight too, and I think he's thinking beyond just sort of the hatred between the two of them. And I'm not sure if that's the case for Cody. I think maybe Cody's thinking a lot about the grudge and thinking about the fight as a kind of a 1B. So I do favor Dillashaw in this one because I feel like he definitely, I think he's going to be able to push the grudge and the animosity to the side and focus on getting the title back.
For me, I think that Dillashaw's got more versatility about his game. I think Garbrandt's the more dangerous fighter with his power, the way he explodes in fights, and he can go everywhere. These two can both go everywhere. They're modern mixed martial artists. They can do everything. I think they both strike very well. I think Dillashaw is a marginally better wrestler, but then again, who knows? I mean, Cody hasn't had to use his that much. He's such an explosive striker and a man who likes to deliver. Like you say, I get the feeling that we know how Cody Garbrandt is going to fight, and it's how Dillashaw kind of creates the shape of the fight which could win it. I don't see a stoppage. I think this is going to be a war for round after round after round, because they're both brilliant.
We've seen Dillashaw do that too before. You know, when he burst on the scene, he wasn't supposed to be anywhere near Henin Barão, and he took him apart. And then sort of look at the progression. Look at how it's moved to Cody so quickly, just a couple, 2-3 years after we saw TJ burst on the scene. But I think the time is right for TJ to take some of that back. I think it's a close fight, and the odds have it a close fight as it is. TJ's a slight underdog, I think, but I think his versatility gives him the best shot in this fight.
I'm going to go for Garbrandt to win a controversial points decision. But I could have gone for either man in this fight. I think TJ is the fans' favourite as well. But I agree with the odds that it's a bit, because I think the odds are being made on Garbrandt's ability maybe to stun, hurt, and submit or knock out, whereas Dillashaw, the problem with Dillashaw, I think, when he fought Dominic Cruz, was he didn't do what Garbrandt did, which was he respected Dominic's style too much. And whereas, you know, it's a bit like that thing, if you're trying to tackle someone in a sport, you don't look at their feet, you just look at their body, and you go for the body, you know? You know, it's that thing about, you know, coaches shouting at fighters, hit them in the chest, don't go for the head, hit them in the middle of the chest, you know? It's a bigger target to go for, and you're gonna get somewhere near the title. So you're going TJ, I'm going Cody. It's tight either way, but I think it's going to be a terrific fight, and it's worthy of being at Madison Square Garden. Onto the women's strawweight title. Joanna Jędrzejczyk has got a historic record on the line as well. She defends this title. I think it's more defenses than any other woman in a title for a title. So when you look at Joanna, she's got better and better and better. She is a vicious, aggressive, come forward, technically adept fighter who's got better with her takedown defense. She wants it standing. So in Rose Namajunas, we've got a woman who blows hot and cold, who maybe has got over things. There was a brilliant video put out of her the other day, playing the piano, by the way. Did you see that?
She is
an extraordinarily talented musician, isn't she?
Very good. I was impressed.
It's worth checking this out if you hear this on the William Hill Buzz podcast. Just go to her Twitter account and see her playing the piano. She clearly could have had a career as a pianist.
Excellent. It was fantastic. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah. And when you think that she uses her hands to punch people for a living, and there's so much damage you can take on your hands, she couldn't really be a pianist, could she? But she is.
Pretty hard to do. It definitely made me appreciate her at a different level beyond fighting. And I kind of tend to let that stuff influence a little bit how I think about fights. I mean, she seems to be grounded at this point outside the cage. She's talked a lot about her mental toughness, and we've seen Joanna kind of pick at that a little bit in the weeks building up to this fight. I think that'll put a little bit of a chip on Rose's shoulder. And it makes me wonder if Joanna, as good as she is, as amazing as she is, if she's just a little too overconfident going into this fight. When you look at the safe bet is Joanna.
Oh, no.
But the bet that you take that flyer on to make some money is Rose. I mean, she's a 3-1 underdog. I mean, if you're talking about making money on underdogs, she's your girl.
I keep saying this about Demetrius Johnson, though. He's going to lose at some point. And look what he's done. Was it 12 now?
Yeah.
12 defenses? I'm going into this, thinking about this ahead of the contest and ahead of the William Hill Buzz podcast that we're on at the moment, I was thinking, am I going to pick Rose in this fight? Because Joanna is going to lose at some point, I think. Well, she will at some point. Everyone loses at some point. But the trouble is, Rose at her worst makes mistakes, and she makes really foolish mistakes. And I don't see, if that goes to the ground and she rolls, I get it. You know, she's fairy, she's a brilliant scrambler, she's got great jiu-jitsu. I think her striking is weak, though, and that's what I worry about for her in this fight. I understand your thinking, but I think Jędrzejczyk is so vicious, she's so accurate. Her Muay Thai and kickboxing, and even her boxing, you know, she got the ability to walk people down, and she does tend to trap most opponents on the octagon wall, and she just lets her hands go, and that's what I fear for Rose. There could be this onslaught. It could be one of those where it's over before it's begun, or she's worn down by Joanna's onslaughts, and because she's relentless. The efficacy of her striking is off the charts, frankly. So I understand where you're going, but I just think she'll have too much for her. And she I love the way psychologists, sports psychologists will tell all fighters this: go out and say you're the champion and keep repeating it. And she does that so well.
Yeah. I think it will take a mistake by Joanna for Rose to capitalize on. Mm-hmm. Kind of like maybe what we saw in Holly and Ronda. We thought Ronda was so dominant and could never lose, and she was a 20-1 favorite or whatever it was. Mm. And it just took that one mistake, getting caught in that one instance, and then it was done. I think Rose needs to find that moment, and if she can find it and capitalize it, I think we could see an upset. But again, the odds are what they are for a reason. Joanna's amazing.
Come on, let's pick then. I'm going Joanna by... It's a 5-round fight. I think Rose was going to be very well prepared for this. Like you say, she talked about her mental toughness. She's also talked about mental health issues, which I think was brilliant going into this contest. And I think there was a mistaken kind of attack from Joanna, which has been clarified now, and I'm pleased about that because Joanna's a good person. So we're both going for Joanna Jędrzejczyk, yeah.
I think if you put a gun to my head, I pick Joanna, and if you tell me you can pick how you want to pick, I'm picking Rose in an upset by submission.
So on to the main event, Matt. As I say, George St. Pierre returning against Michael Bisping, who extraordinarily has had one of those careers where you have to say try and try again. He's become a fan's favourite. He's become a big star in America. He was a big star in the UK anyway. You know, without crossing over in true terms like an Anthony Joshua or some of our other combat stars, because we're behind you in America on the way, the projection of mixed martial artists. You know, we spoke about them just now leading into it. For me, it's a very tough fight for GSP. Michael Bisping has brilliant takedown defense. He's got fantastic striking. I see him popping George St. Pierre, you know, and his... Michael's always had great footwork. He's a converted southpaw, so his jab is a very, very fine jab. And I just feel that you know, unless George has been very active in the gym, unless he's been sparring a lot, I think it's the ring rust that's going to be so difficult for him stepping in there after. It's 4 years away in November, and so it's literally 4 years away.
4 years is a long time. He's fighting a bigger guy. The last time we saw him in there, he fought a bigger guy too, Johnny Hendricks, who we know now was a middleweight all along and somehow managed to get down to 170 sometimes. But I feel like, you know, look at how Johnny was able to beat George up on the feet during that fight. We're talking about Michael Bisping here. We've seen Bisping get hurt, but we've seen him be able to recover against guys like Dan Henderson and Anderson Silva. Say what you will about those fights. I mean, those are guys who still can hit people and knock them out. And Bisping was able to sort of walk through those. I feel like we're going to see the same thing again on Saturday night. I think it'll be a tough fight, but I just don't see George being able to keep up with him.
So, Matt, you don't see him being able to keep up with him as we move through our kind of locations here with things being built all around us. For you, George St. Pierre, is Bisping going to have too much for him? I'm going for Bisping in this fight. I don't know if he'll stop George. I think he'll wear him down over round after round and could win a lopsided 4-1 decision in this fight in rounds. And I think Bisping then will have to face the likes of Whittaker or whoever's calling him out afterwards or whoever deserves the title shot.
I agree, and I'm taking Bisping by decision. I think he's going to be able to grind it out. He may have some trouble with George's style at some points in the fight, but he's too big. He's been too active, even though it's been a while now for Bisping too, but that's nothing against 4 years. So I do like Bisping by decision.
Me too. I'm going Bisping by decision. The only other thing, if George St. Pierre does pull off the victory here by you know, kind of coming back after 4 years and he beats Michael Bisping, for me, he'll call out Conor McGregor straight away and we'll see Conor McGregor against GSP.
It's the brilliant fight to make. That's the money fight.
Matt, you've been absolutely brilliant. It's great to have you on the UFC Buzz podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a big fight night and a big weekend at Madison Square Garden, New York. Enjoy the fights, everyone. And we will speak to you next week at the next UFC event. You've been listening to Gareth A. Davis, and this is the UFC Buzz podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.